seer money in this one.
Alright, I guess we're rocking.
Everybody.
Good morning.
We want to welcome you this morning to our worship service here at Columbia United Methodist Church, and we're glad you're with us today. Just a few reminders about our meal on Wednesday nights at 5:45 downstairs. We'd love to have you. If you would like to help out in some way, there is a board out in the front. You can take a sticky note with you and sign up for helping or volunteering or whatever the case might be. Also, want to remind anybody that works with children and youth that next Sunday, right after the service, we'll be having a quick safe sanctuary training. It'll probably about 15 minutes tops, 20 minutes tops, so it won't be long. And if you do volunteer, make sure your clearances are filled out. If you have any questions, you can see me regarding them. So this morning, as we get started, it is Mother's Day, and so we just want to take this time right now to honor any mother, stepmother, grandmother, or any woman who works with children in any sort of way. If you would just stand up at this time, if you're a mom, stepmom, grandmom, or if you're an individual woman that works with children in any sort of way, in childcare or whatever it might be, if you would stand up as well. We want to recognize you this morning and give thanks to you, and let's have a prayer right now over these wonderful women here that are good leaders and spiritual leaders and are important in our lives as children and grandchildren and kids as they come and go through daycare and school and everything. So let us pray. God, we give you thanks on this Mother's Day for the women that you have placed in our life. We give you thanks for the impact that they've made, for caring for us and loving us and encouraging us and picking us up when we are down, for praying for us, for constantly being there to support us. Thank you, God, for these women. Thank you for just the impact that they have had on so many lives that they've touched. So, God, we come today and we recognize them and we give thanks for them. And we ask that you pour out your blessing upon them now, God, that as we recognize and honor them, God, that you would give them a special blessing today. In your name we pray. Amen. After the service today, as you leave, there'll be some carnations in the back, and we just ask that you would take a carnation with you, as we just want to recognize all of our women in attendance, because whether you're a mom, a stepmom, a grandmom, or have had impact with any children at all, you have made a difference, and we want to recognize that difference that you have made in the lives of our church and our community. So thank you for all that you have done. So as we come this morning, let us come and let us worship together as we prepare our hearts and minds. So God, we come now and we ask, God, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us now in this time and the place that you brought us together, that you would enable us to give you our thanks and praise, and that you'd be pleased with the offering that we bring. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us come and let us worship together this morning.
Please stand together. I'm going to start the service by reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So please join us as we sing together, There's Power in the Blood.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you for evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power. There is power, wonder-working power.
Scripture is from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, But when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, did not eat or drink anything.
In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias? Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized.
Thank you, worship team. And again, we want to welcome everybody this morning and those that are online watching this morning. We will welcome you as well as you join us as we come together and we worship. So let us pray together. Lord, we come now and we give you thanks and praise for who you are and for what you're doing in our lives. And we pray now, God, that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears that we might hear you speak to us today. And we pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. We're going to be continuing our sermon series on renew. And last week we talked about renewing our spirits and we talked about having a clean heart. And today we're going to be looking at renewing our purpose, how God wants to renew the purpose he has for us. That when God created each and every one of us that are sitting here today and are watching online, that he created us as his handiwork. He created us for a purpose. He created us for a good work to be accomplished through him. That when God formed our church here, our Columbia United Methodist Church, that he formed it as his handiwork because he formed it and said it was good, and he has something that he wants to do through the church here. When we look at the aspect of becoming new and renewing ourselves and having new purpose, when we look at the aspect of saying, well, God, what is it that you want to do in my life and through my church? We have to realize that it starts with last week when we have to die to ourselves and we have to give ourselves fully to God and say, God, I am yours. Not my desires, but your desires. It starts with our spirit. It starts with our heart's attitude. That's the only way that we can be renewed. That's the only way we can have a new purpose in which every day God wants to do something new through us and in us. And in God doing that, sometimes it can be difficult. Sometimes it can be unnerving. And sometimes it can be scary. We know that changes occur when God begins to do something in us and renews us and wants to give us a purpose and a new purpose. That means that sometimes the old goes and we have to become new again. That we have to put our old self away and we have to live in Christ and let the new creation flow through us. That when God wants to do something new in our community and new in our church, it means that sometimes that we have to trust him and rely on him. Now, when we look at our church here at Columbia Methodist Church, we know that this church has gone through some changes. That in 1992, that Columbia United Methodist Church was formed with three churches coming together to form what we have here today. With First United Methodist Church, that began in 1803, and Salome United Brethren which was in 1860, had its beginnings in Cookman United Methodist Church in 1876 when it began and opened its doors to individuals and community. There was a lot of history there. There was a lot of tradition there in each of those churches. And in 1992, when they all came together to form Columbia United Methodist Church, God was doing something new. God had a new purpose for those three churches and bringing them together to form Columbia United Church. That when God brought those churches together, He said, I have a new purpose and how you can reach the community. It was a different way of doing things in 1992 as three churches came together. It was a way of learning to work together. It was a way of learning to partner together and encourage each other and walk beside each other. It was a way of trusting God. It was a way of trusting the leadership to say, we don't know what this new venture looks like, but we are going to do our best to have and fulfill that purpose that God has for us. That in the midst of all that change that went on, Columbia United Methodist Church was formed. Now, there have been some ups and some downs over the past 29 years and the forming of Columbia Methodist Church. There have been some good times and some bad times. When we look at the history of our church, there have been pastors who have come, pastors that have gone, and pastors that will come again, and pastors that will leave as well in the future. There have been individuals, as we look over that 29 years of history, that have been part of one of those three churches when it merged, or been a part of our church, the Columbia Methodist Church, that have come and they have gone. But the one thing that still remains is that we are here as Columbia United Methodist Church. And through those 29 years, we are still here today as the church that God brought together in 1992. You see, we all have a choice to make. We have a choice whether to take part in God's plan and what God is doing. We have a choice to go along with God's direction and God's purpose of renewing us and saying there's a new direction of things. Or we can just walk away and say, it's not for me. Over the past 29 years, God has been doing something through this church that's been exciting. That as you look through the history of Columbia and Ephesus Church and you look back on all the things that have been done, God has constantly been doing something new. That every year there's a new purpose, a new thing that He gives to us to do, a new direction. And we can choose to either follow that direction, that new purpose that God gives us, or we can sit back and say, it's not for me. Over the past 29 years, this church has impacted the community for Christ, has changed people's lives, because individuals like you that are sitting here today have been a part of that journey and have said that you want to be a part of what God's doing and you are excited about what God is doing, even in the midst of uncertainty. Then we look past and we look to the past. We have seen that over the past 29 years, that not only has the church become better and stronger, but that we as individuals, as a part of this church, have grown and we become stronger individuals in our personal lives, in our Christian lives. That over the course of the 29 years, when God has renewed the purpose and direction for this church, that we remain here because we have faced that purpose. And we become stronger as a church because of what God has called us to do. Today, as we look at Saul, I want us to think about two things this morning. The first thing I want to think about is this question of, well, what is my purpose? Why do I come to church? Why is it that I'm here this morning, first of all? And the second is, what is the purpose of Columbia United Methodist Church? What's my purpose? Why do I come to church? But what is the purpose of Columbia Methodist Church? And as we look at Saul today, who became Paul, I think we'll get an idea of what God wants for us this morning. We look in the book of Acts and we see that Saul was an individual who was zealous, that Saul sometimes came across so zealous that he didn't care what it took to advance his career. And then he had an encounter with Jesus on the road of Damascus and was transformed, and he wrote the vast majority of the New Testament we have today, because God gave Saul, who became Paul, a new purpose. Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:10, as we heard, "For God's handiwork, we are that. We are created in Christ to do good works, which Christ has prepared us in advance for us to do." That Paul tells us that you and I were created for the handiwork of God. That in creating us, that He has given us a purpose, preparing us for that purpose, to accomplish that purpose. But not only as individuals are we His handiwork, and not only as His individuals are we prepared for a purpose that God wants to accomplish in our lives, but God is preparing our church for a purpose to accomplish His handiwork through our church, that we can go and do what He's called us to do. Some translations might say workmanship, and that Greek word meaning pononium, which means a creation that is made, that we are made, that God made us each as individuals, and God made and formed the church that we have here today, that we are God's workmanship as individuals, as the church together. He is the author of our lives, and He is the author of this church, and He has a purpose for each and every one of us, and He has a purpose for our church. God made us for a purpose. And not only that, He says, if you come and you follow Me and you take up your cross daily, I will show you what that purpose is. When we go back to Genesis, it's interesting that when you go through chapter 1 in Genesis, and when God is finished, He says everything was good. That when He creates something in the book of Genesis, He said it was good. And then when He comes to creating man and creating us, He says, and it was good. When it came to creating Columbia Methodist Church, He said, and it was good. And He was pleased because of His creation. Because He has made us, He wants to give us direction and purpose, because He is the one who knows us the best. He is the one who knows our community the best, and He wants us to rely on Him. And Paul reminds us that each and every one of us were created to do good works. To do good works in our individual lives, as well as to do good works as a church as a whole. That God has prepared us to take the desires of His heart and giving us those same desires to live out in our lives and in our church. Paul tells us in the New Testament that it's important to have that renewed focus and that renewed purpose in difficult times. That as Paul went and he was shipwrecked and he was put in prison, that Paul says no matter what, he constantly had a renewed purpose. That in every situation he was in, he always found a purpose and said, God, I'm going to stay faithful and true to You no matter what, because I know that You have a purpose for this. I know You have a purpose for me. And we know how the story goes. When he was in jail the one time, the earthquake happened, the doors opened up, and the centurion was about to kill himself. And Paul said, hold on here, we're all here. And that centurion came to know Christ and his entire family. That we have the letters we have from Paul as he was in prison and writing these letters to the churches, writing for encouragement. He wasn't going, woe's me, my life is so horrible, my life is so bad. I don't know why I did this thing called following Jesus. I don't know why I poured into churches. I don't know why I gave my time and my energy on these missionary journeys. Look what's happened to me now. I've been wronged. I'm facing injustices in my life. It's not fair. I didn't do anything, and I'm being persecuted, and man, my life is so horrible. Paul didn't do that. In the midst of all the persecution, Paul continued to advance the cause of the church because he knew it wasn't about him. He knew that God had a greater cause, and that whatever situation he was placed in should be to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter what. That Paul reminds us of his story. that when we look here at the book of Acts, that Paul was an individual who actually martyred Stephen. You remember Stephen? That after Judas had hung himself in the book of Acts, the disciples had to find a new individual, and so they chose Stephen. And as a result, Saul was the individual who basically had Stephen put to death. Stephen was on the job not for very long before he was killed. If you remember, Saul was the one who held the coats to the people and said, "Here, give me your coats, and over there, take a stone with you." He was the one who made sure that Stephen was stoned because he was a Christian. Saul did whatever it took to advance his own agenda. Saul did whatever it took to make sure that he was climbing up the ladder, to make sure he looked good. He did whatever there was to make sure there was chaos in the church. He did whatever he could to make sure that the church wouldn't survive, that the church wouldn't be unified. He did whatever he could to disrupt things in the church. And he did that by persecuting Christians in the early church. He did that by moving up the ranks as a Pharisee and trying to get the attentions of the chief priest so that maybe one day he could be a chief priest and that one day he might be able to run things the way he wanted to run things. That Saul's own intentions of persecuting the church was selfish ambition about him and what he wanted. And that was his sole purpose. But God said to Saul, "I have better plans for you." Why? Because you're my handiwork. Because I love you and I care for you. And you know what, Saul? I'm going to change your purpose. And we find here that Scripture tells us in the book of Acts how that encountered. As we heard the story read here, that while Saul in Acts chapter 9 was breeding murderous threats about the Lord's disciples, basically what he was doing is he was making false claims against them. He was basically defaming their character. He was basically saying untruths about Christians in order to get the end result of what he wanted in the church. That he went to the high priest and he said, "Can I have your approval to persecute these Gentiles? Can I have your approval to make sure that you're on board with my cause?" And so Saul was given the direction to go ahead and persecute anybody that was a follower of Jesus. He had a misplaced purpose. He was missing the good work that God had planned for him, and he was not living up to God's potential. And this morning, you know, maybe we can relate to that. Maybe we have been in a situation where we have felt like we have been persecuted. And we have wondered, what did we do wrong? As a pastor, I can tell you that one of the hardest portions of this job is sometimes listening to individuals that feel they can say whatever they want to say to you with no recourse. That it doesn't matter what feelings you might have. That no matter what, as a pastor, you can just sit there and take whatever comes to you. And sometimes those things are harsh. And sometimes those things hurt and cut. And you know, the thing that I was thinking of was, you know what, not just as being a pastor, but individuals that have been hurt by people in the church, where people have said things, they haven't meant things that they've said, and said, I was just joking, I was just kidding. We look back over the history of the church and we say, well, why is the church the way it is? It's because of the fact that what James says, that sometimes our tongue is sharper than a sword. That our tongue, the littlest muscle in our body, can cut and hurt more than anything else. And we find here that the reality is just not that we're the ones being persecuted, but it's actually God who's being persecuted. That when individuals stir up things and individuals come at us and they say hateful and mean things to us out of anger or spite, whatever it might be, or sometimes they even know what they're saying, that's basically not against us, but persecuting God. Because you see, if you and I are God's followers and we're Christians, then we are a representative of God and we mirror God in our lives, and therefore, when we are persecuted, God is being persecuted as well. Because sometimes we can have a misplaced purpose in life. Sometimes we can forget what we're called to do, and sometimes we can forget how our actions have an impact on all those around us. Scriptures don't tell us whether or not Paul is at a crossroad as far as what his faith was, but what we do know is that on that road to Damascus, that God changed his purpose for him. That God intervened and God changed Saul to become Paul. And it says here again in Scripture, he says, as he was on his way, as he neared Damascus on the journey, a bright light flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice that said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "For I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Now get up and go in the city, and you will be told what you must do." Then the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground. When he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him to the hand. For 3 days he was blind, and he not drink or anything. You see, sometimes we are like Saul, and God has to blind us again to regain our focus. Sometimes we're like Saul, and we can hear the voice of God, but yet we can't see him because of our behaviors and our actions. Because sometimes we have to have a divine disruption the way that God gave Saul a divine disruption. With the very spirit of Jesus, the very spirit that Saul was persecuting, confronts him. He comes and blinds him. And God steps in, changing his name, giving him a new purpose, a brand new mission. And it speaks to us in Acts here, chapter 9, that he changed Paul's life and reoriented. You see, sometimes we can say, "Well, Pastor Tom, we're not like Saul. We don't see a bright light coming at us on the road to Damascus." But the fact is that God speaks to us in so many different ways and tries to get our attention in so many ways that sometimes we might miss it because we are like Saul and so consumed with other things and own desires and passions of the world and our selfishness that we miss what God's trying to tell us and trying to get our attention. It might not be a bright light, but God is nudging us on the shoulder and tapping us and saying, "Hey, I'm here. Remember me? I have a new purpose for you. I want to change your life. Will you let me do it?" And Saul's life was completely altered on that day. When you think about us as a church, a year and a half ago, we were in a groove as a church. We were coming to church every Sunday. We were having awesome worship services. We were doing good things. We were in a groove. Things were going well. We were jiving. Things were clicking. Everything was going great. It was amazing. We began to look and say, "Wow, this is exciting. We look forward to what the year has for us." And then all of a sudden, we know how the story goes. All of a sudden, things closed and the pandemic hit. Everything changed in that heartbeat. And now as we come back, and we think about our nation, and we think about our churches, the one thing that we can find in common is this, folks. There's a lot of angry people out there. There's a lot of angry people in our nation right now, in our community, and even in our churches. And you look back and you say, "Well, why is that?" Because we've been shut down for a year. We've been in our homes for a year and a half. We haven't been able to be together. We're scared. We're scared because of this COVID virus that we've never known anything about before and how that is affecting us and how it might still affect us. We're angry because we don't know what to do with this anger of frustration of things that are out of our control. We're angry because of things that we see being played out before us in the news every day. We're angry because of change. We're angry because things aren't the way they used to be. We're angry because we want it to go back the way it was a year and a half ago. We're angry because nothing is normal. We are angry because we wonder, will there ever be a sense of normalcy ever again? We're angry because we've been isolated. We're angry because of the things that could have, should have been done during the pandemic. Things that nobody prepared anybody for. Things that the church wasn't prepared for. Things that they don't teach you in seminary to prepare for as a pastor, that you're trying to figure your way through it all each and every day. And looking back on it, sure, there are things that could have been done differently as a church. Sure, there are things that can be done differently as a pastor from a pastor's standpoint. But during that time, as we're trying to figure it all out, and you're in the midst of trying to figure out which end is up, it's hard. So as a pastor, I apologize to individuals going through the pandemic, because looking back, sure, there are things that I probably could have done and should have done better, and I apologize for that. But we can focus on the would have, could have, should haves, and what the pastor should have done and shouldn't have done, and what the pastor should be doing right now and here. Or we can live in the present. And we can live right here and now. And we can focus on the purpose that God has given to us and say, this is what I've called you to be here for. I've called you my people, set apart, called according to His purpose to be renewed and changed. We can continue to be angry people. We can continue to be frustrated people. We can continue to live and say, no matter what happens, I'm still not going to be happy. Or we can give that up to God. We can move out of that anger and frustration. We can move out of that resentment. And we can allow God to change us and give us a new purpose again. You see, the problem we're facing as a nation, and the problem that churches are facing, and the problem we see even in our own church, is the fact that people are upset and they're frustrated and they're angry because they don't know what to do with it all. Because there's no sense of something normal anymore. But is that really true? Because you see, I challenge that notion, because I do think there is something that's normal. Something that never changes in this world. Something that will never change. That has been the same since the beginning, it'll be the same in the end, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the one thing that remains the same in the midst of everything that goes on. He is the one thing that's been normal and consistent through everything that we face as a church for the past 29 years. He is the one thing that has been the same through this pandemic. He is the one thing that remains the same here today. He is the one thing that will remain the same in the future. He is a sense of normalness that we need. But so many times we don't seek Him. And so many times we don't look for His purpose. We find here this morning that there are all indications in the Bible about how God is calling to us and how God says we can fulfill His purpose. That when we look at Scripture, we have to first realize that we have a renewed purpose that comes from God. And that God will always align Himself with that purpose in the Bible. So the question that I want to ask now is the fact of that as a church, everything we do is aligned with the Bible. Everything we do, we look at Scripture and we say, what has God called us to do? My question is that how we live our lives? Is that how I live my life? Do I look to Scripture and say, God, is this something you'd be pleased for? Is this something you've called me to do? Do we look to the Bible for direction? Because as a church and as a pastor and as church leadership, we do our best to look to the Bible and say, God, what is it you would have for us to gain direction from the Bible and from God Himself to lead the church through being the pastor and leadership? But do we do that in our own lives? Do we come and are we renewed by saying that God's plan requires my involvement with things? That I can't just sit back and say, God, you do your own thing, and I'll just take a seat and watch it happen. That we have to be involved with it, folks. We have to have a part in what God is doing. We have to choose to actively be involved with what He wants to do in our personal lives and in our churches. That is the only way we're going to be successful. The only way we will ever be successful is if we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. That we seek the power of the Holy Spirit. And we allow the Holy Spirit to live in us and through us and change us and renew us. that we allow the Holy Spirit to give us a purpose, that we allow the Holy Spirit to be the ones that we go to and we seek and we ask for wisdom and direction from. Because if we don't do that, we will always fail. And we have to be obedient. You see, we can't accomplish the purpose that God has for us if we're not obedient. If it's about what Tom Grubbs wants, then guess what? I'm not being obedient. Because when I became a Christian, I didn't say, well, God, thank you for saving me, but it's still about me and what I want. You see, I have to be obedient to follow God. I have to do what God has called me to do. And like we talked about last week, anything else is just sin if we're not obedient and following God's call in our life. You see, it's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God. And as your pastor, seeking God and asking God for direction, and saying, God, where do you want to take me in my personal life? God, also as a pastor, where do you want to take this church? Where are you going to lead us? And working together with church leadership to take that vision to be the church that God has called us to be. Trusting God, not trusting in myself. So going back to those questions I asked at the beginning, why is it that you come to Columbian Methodist Church? Well, as your pastor, I hope your answer would be is because, one, that you want to have a relationship with God and renew that relationship and have a better relationship with God, as well as to be amongst each other, to encourage each other, and to fellowship with each other so that we could be the best church that we could be. And the next question of what is the purpose of Columbian Methodist Church? Well, our purpose is that we exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of our community. That doesn't exist because of me. It doesn't exist because of you. It exists because of what Jesus did on the cross. Because he died and he rose again. You see, so many times we get confused and we say, the church is about me. The church is about what I want and what I desire. But folks, that's not it. The church is about us coming together and being together and fellowshipping together. The church exists not because of us, but because of what God has done for us. It is God's church. It's not our church. We play a part in his church. We ask God to drive us and direct us, but it's not my church. It's God's church first and foremost, in which we are part of that church to be used by God to accomplish his purpose in church. So this morning, are we a Saul or a Paul? Are we a Saul that we're still so angry and so upset with things that we can't move forward, and we're looking at every opportunity to find that might be negative? Are we a Saul and we just can't move past whatever has offended us, or whatever has transpired? Or are we going to be a Paul? Are we going to be a Paul and be transformed and move forward in our lives? Are we going to be a Paul and allow the Holy Spirit to come upon us and to fill us so that no matter what happens, that we will count it all joy in the midst of everything and continue to fill God's purpose for us? You see, it's a lot easier to be a Saul, folks. It's a lot easier to be a Saul because there's no commitment there. You don't have to change anything. There's no change of behavior. You're only obedient to yourself. But being a Paul means that we have to be obedient to God. It's a lot harder being a Paul. Because sometimes being a Paul means we have to take the high road. Because being a Paul means that we have to become selfless the way that God was and Jesus was when he came and walked among us. It means that we need to trust God no matter what. So this morning as we come and we look at our church, we look at our lives, we look at our community, are we being a Saul or are we being a Paul? Because folks, the church isn't going to grow because of Pastor Tom. Yes, I will lead you, I will direct you, I will be your shepherd. But folks, it's not going to grow solely because of Pastor Tom. It's going to have to grow because of each and every one of us choosing whether to be a Saul or a Paul. That the pastor can only do so much. The church leadership can only do so much. That we all have to choose, what is our purpose going to be? Growing the church, looking to God for purpose and direction, or looking at ways of how we can hinder growth, looking at ways and how we can be negative. We're either going to be a Saul or a Paul. This morning, as we come, I would just ask if you would just bow your heads for a moment. And just, if you would, just put your hands out in front of you this morning. And as we are doing this together, let us all ask for the Holy Spirit just to fall upon us, to renew us, to reshape us, and to change who we are. And so, God, we come now before you, and we ask this morning that today would be our own road to Damascus, that we would encounter you here today, this morning, that you would once again give us renewed purpose, God, and renewed direction, God. That as we look back over the history of this church and we've seen how you've worked and how you have transformed lives, that we wouldn't be a part of that here today, God, but it starts right now, God. We ask that you remove the scales from our own eyes, that we might see you, that we might experience you, and that we might be the church that you called us to be. And so, Lord, as we continue to come and worship you this morning, we ask, God, that you just take our lives and that you would just allow us, God, to experience you, to know you, and to seek you, and to be the people you've called us to be. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us continue to worship.
Please stand.
righteousness is what you want from me.
As your pastor, I come before you, and I don't have all the answers. I never will have all the answers. But it comes about me surrendering to God and say, God, give me wisdom, give me direction of where we can move this church and where we can take this church. That I can be the best shepherd for this church that I can be. It comes to each and every one of us surrendering to God and saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. It comes and says, God, let us surrender everything we have to you and let us put our trust in you. Because I don't know about you, but as a pastor, I'm excited about this church. I'm excited about what is yet to come. There's really exciting things going on Wednesday nights with the kids program, the youth, and the dinner. There's really exciting things going on with people's lives being changed. I don't know about you, but that doesn't come from anything that I've done or you've done. It comes by surrendering to God and saying, God, all I am and all I have is yours. And so as we leave this place this week, are we going to trust God and put our faith in God and surrender everything that we have to Him, trusting in the positions and leaders that He's put in place and saying, God, the future, the purpose you have for us, I want to be a part of because I want to be a part of that thing you're doing new. And so today as we come, let us surrender all we have to Him. And as we leave each and every day of our lives, let's yield to Him. And as we go, may the grace and peace of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. And this evening as you leave this place, make sure that if you are a woman, that you take a carnation with you to remember all the contributions you made and all the lives you've impacted, as well as a way to say thank you from Columbia Methodist Church for all that you've done. May you go in peace, and may the peace of God go with you now and forever. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful week and happy Mother's Day.